Galatians 5, 16 to 26. And I'll talk about a little more here in just a moment. But Galatians 5, 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For this is kind of somewhat the opening scripture that Sonny brought forth this morning. And so I think the Holy Spirit is in this place of he wants to get this across. And I've been stuck in this place since last week and the week before. I've kind of been stuck in here, and this is where I believe the Lord wants to go today. And so, again, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have been crucified. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What do you guys think when you hear those words? Does it resonate anywhere in your spirit? Does the Holy Spirit bring conviction in your heart? I want to use the mic this morning, and I'm going to use you guys because sometimes, what is the desires of your heart? Anybody want to share the desires of your heart?
That is that the Amish become saved. I was in church last Sunday in Pennsylvania. There's 500 people there. And a total change, something that never happened. If you'd have been there, you could have had communion with the Amish people. I sat down at a table to eat. I was there first. I mean, before, and the bishop sat at the same table to eat. Never happened before.
Wow. Anybody have desires? How about desires from the Lord? You want to share your desires from the Lord? What kind of desires do you have from the Lord? Willie, you want to share some desires you have in the Lord?
Well, my desires is get back and do what God's called me to do, to minister His word and work on a relationship with my wife and how to be a man of God called me to be instead of what I have been. And my attitude, the Lord's been dealing with me. And there's one thing that the Lord's been dealing about, love, compassion. My wife's been bringing up about, doesn't God speak about love and compassion? What about at home? And that's one thing. And do what God's called me to do, and be that man I should be. So that's one of the things that I'm working on that I want to see happen. So,
how about you, Steve? Do you got desires that you have the Lord has placed in your heart?
So my desire is to do everything that He's called me to do, that He directs me to do, and to please Him more than anything. That's all I want to do anymore. I just want to please God in everything I do. Not just what I do at home, not just what I do at church, but when I'm out in the marketplace, when I'm in Walmart, whatever it is, God, use me. That's what I want. That's what I Use me. Send me, Lord. I'm willing.
Amy? Sean has some desires.
My biggest desire here recently is to just to know him. And Jeremiah 33:3, if you call upon him, he's going to show you deep things that you do not know. And so knowing him is actually his prayer in John 17 too. He wants you to know him. Mm-hmm. If you get to know him on a deeper level, he starts just showing you these things that will just bring you to your knees in joy and happiness and all the fruits of the Spirit you just mentioned. And then bringing that cup overflowing and then spilling it out on other people. So just getting to know him and then just bragging about how good he is. It's been great, and I'm not there yet.
Desires.
I just want to draw closer to God, and when he speaks to me, I want the strength to obey him and do what he asks. I have to step out of my comfort zone.
Amen. Amen. Desires. Desires. What is our desires? What are your desires, right?
All right. Hi. So I was arguing with God. I wasn't going to, but I have to now because he won't leave me alone. So I want to do music. That's what I want to do really bad. When I'm on stage, when I'm singing, when I'm with like a group of people and we're writing songs and we're praying for each other, like that's who I feel like I am. That's like who I'm supposed to be to do that. And I've complained for years and years and years about being in this factory because it's hard, because I used to be one way, and now that I'm different, they like to poke and try to see if they can get the other person riled up. And it's really hard for me because inside, I want to be that old person, but God's showing me now that the reason why I'm still there, it's not just because I'm complaining on a daily basis to him, but he's using that place and those circumstances to strengthen me and sharpen me, because in his timing, he's going to use me the way he wants to, not the way I want him to use me.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to share your desires or the desires of the Lord is placed in your heart? Okay, I got one other question before we move on. What brought you into church today and what excites you about the Lord? So here's the thing. We're family. We're family, and I don't know if we know each other. I don't know if you know what excites me about the Lord. What excites me about the Lord? That I get to come in contact with him. That he changed my life. That he can use us in ways that I could never imagine. What excites me about him is that he turned my life completely around. What excites me about him is that I can walk out and speak to people in dire straits and give them the gospel, and their lives are changed. I love to see people change. My desire is to see the Lord heal people. That's been my desire since I come to the Lord. Since I turned my life over to him when I was 33, the first words he spoke to me was, you were going to heal people. You're going to lay hands on the sick and you're going to heal them. My desire has been that all my life. I read books all my Christian life. All my life is my new life, my new creation life, right? Not from the little kid, but my new creation life. See, this is where I start, is my new creation life. My old nature has died. My old nature is dead. And my desires is to do the things of God, not of the world, not do the things of the world, but my desire is to do the things of God. Yes, I have to work in the place, in the factories where there is conflict and there is the enemy that is trying to pull you one way or the other. There is the foul language. There is the different kinds of conversations around the rooms. And I still have to be the light in the darkness. And I I get to experience the life changes. I get to experience the change that is happening. And I can think about I can't remember the year, was it 2011 or 2010? And I remember sitting in this large conference room, and nobody ever used the conference room, but I started a Bible study in there. There was three of us in that room, and we were talking about communion. And we had just read the scriptures in Corinthians about communion, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and we felt it was an earthquake happened. And we looked at each other and said, that's God on the move. And no one was Christians at that time, or if they were fake Christians, or they were Christians that were covered, that nobody knew they were. Discreet Christians, should I say. And from those years, and 15 years, just say that there are so many more people and so many more believers and outright speaking the gospel in that place. And so I that is my desire. And what excites me is to see God move. What excites me is to come into his presence. Me and Becky was talking just in between the break, and she talks about she gets these sensations or these vibrations when the Holy Spirit moves. And she's trying to discern those things. And those things, I always wanted, when I talked about it last week, when I was in Kansas City, and the Lord shook me from the top of my, I mean, just from every part of my being, he shook me. Vibration. My dad said the same thing. And when he was up here and the Lord was moving, the whole body began to shake, and just in convulsions and in tremors. I wanted the Lord to do that over and over and over, because it was such a great experience with me. And it took me 6 months when I came home for it to happen again. And it's the thing that me and the Lord know, that I know that he is. I know that he's in me, but I know that his presence is tangible at that moment. His presence is always tangible. My desire is to have those experiences each and every day. That is my desire. And that's what excites me about the Lord, to see changes. It excites me about him to do the will of the Lord. All my life to do the will of the Lord. That's what excites me. Now, does the enemy come in and try to destroy that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does anybody else want to share their excitement for the Lord? I could go on and on. You want to share?
I'm the same there.
Watch this.
Okay.
You got to put your hand up. This is the antenna.
Oh, my gosh. I want Lance on this excitement. Gets exciting when you see people healed and set free, especially on the streets and stuff, and how God moves and how he performs the miracles that he does, and see all the people gathering around, like, what is happening? They don't understand that God moves the same today as he did yesterday and years ago. And as we go forth and start speaking the word and laying hands in obedience to God, God begins to form his miracles. And everybody begins to see it. It's like Jesus is walking on the streets again. And so that gets really excitement when I started seeing God moving and people being set free and seeing the power of God and going forth. And then they wanting to also to, man, what's going on? Well, this is Jesus, man. Can we operate through? Yes, you can. So, you know, God's giving me that desire and bringing it back and seeing the people healed, set free, and delivered. One of these days I get a testimony about how God's worked, but we go back in the past, but he says, hey, I still want to do that now. And Jesus did it back then, but he's still doing it now. So we're supposed to be doing the same thing, doing now what we, that first love and that first excitement. So that's what excites me.
Amen. Amen. So what brought you guys into church today? Was it out of commitment? Is it out of like, I need to come to church because this is my salvation? Why did you come to church today? It's where you get your strength. Get fed. Huh? Help you grow. Correction. Community. I come to experience him in a group of community of like-minded believers that are hungry for the same thing I am. This is where the power of unity comes together. We have the power of unity at home, and we have with our wives and with our children, and we have the power of unity because we are connected. Spiritually, we're all connected. But sometimes we feel alone at home, but we still have that network of people that will pray for you when you're in trouble. When Sonny, when we heard that Sonny was in the hospital, we began to pray. I don't know who all began to pray, but we began to pray. We began to seek the Father's face for a move, for God to work out those things that need to be worked out. We're in a place, even the Dow family, we're praying for them. As I speak today, my heart is in prayer for them as we speak. But today, we fight against this spiritual thing of the spiritual things of life and the fleshly desires of our heart. Now, I didn't ask you about your fleshly desires of your heart this morning, because I do not want to really hear your fleshly desires of your heart, because they are in contrast to the things of God. And so if we act out on our fleshly desires, we are in direct contrast or oppositions from God. I am polar opposites. You ever take magnets? Right? And you if you really had a strong magnet and you've reversed them, you could not put them together. They are in direct opposites, and they will shove each other away. Some of these new roller coasters now have these magnet systems that shoot them off real fast out of the gate. And what that does is when they turn on that magnet, it's an opposite effect. It pushes them away instantly. And so what we do when we get into this place of fleshly desires and we want to fulfill those fleshly desires, we begin to be opposite of what God wants. We go away from the desires God has placed in your heart, and we pull into the desires of the enemy. It is a battle that is raging from the day that Christ was resurrected and the church began, and this fleshly thing was, this battle was going on. And there's so many here, and there's so many in the earth, and there's so many in the churches today that are dealing with this fleshly desire, total opposite of God's desire. How do you operate in that realm? How do you operate when God is wanting you to do something, but your fleshly desires is wanting you to do something else? Fleshly desires will allow you to live in the world. Fleshly desires will allow you to do the worldly things, and is totally direct opposite of things God wants you to do. But we so embrace those worldly desires because we think that's what we need. We sang a song today about, what was that third song? All I Want Is You or something. Is that what it is? Yeah. All I Want Is You. I think that's what it was. And I don't know what you guys did last night, or I don't know what you guys did Friday night. I don't know what you guys did Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. But you came in here and you sang a song, if you sang that song, and it says, Lord, all I want is you. Is that what you wanted Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night? Is it just for the moment that we sing that song to say, all I want is you today for this moment and this minute or this 30 seconds or this hour that you're together? Because I come in contrast, I come into this opposite effect of what God really wants in my life when I do worldly things and desire worldly things. This is not a sober message. It's not. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power as I turn left. Remember, be turning left every day? Every day I make that decision and I turn left, not to go to the gas station to get cigarettes. I take a left. Every day I made that choice. It's that fleshly desire that was to go get the cigarettes, but the spiritual desire said no. because I would be in direct contrast to the gospel, being in direct contrast to God, what he wanted for my life. Now, I haven't seen the full, total fulfillment of what God wants to do in my life, but my desire is to see that fulfillment fulfilled. I know Sonny said, and I loved what Sonny said this morning, when he said, as soon as he felt that, he begins, I will live. I declare that I will live and I will not die. He knows the word within him. And here's the thing. He chose because he knew. He knew the word. With his gasping for a breath, he began to say, I declare, Lord, you said. And here's what I do know. Sonny told me this long ago. We talked about it. Me and Sean talked about it the other night. And Sonny said, he told me years ago, he said, the Lord told me, I will see the end. That's a promise from God to him. Now, here's what I know. There's promises that God has placed in your heart and placed in your mind and placed in your spirit that if you are in direct opposite of that, you probably will not see those promises come true. But if you believe and you know, you come in this connection, this agreement, right? I come in an agreement with God. I don't care what the enemy tries to do to your body. I don't care what he tries to do to your mind. I come in agreement with what God says about my life. And then he can declare that I shall not die, but I shall live. He can declare that because the promises God has placed on his heart, placed in his mind, placed in his spirit, that he sets on those promises. If you have no promises or no understanding of the promises of God in your life, how do you stand on anything? We need to get the promises of God in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit, and know that he is for us and not against us. Not just saying those words, but actually believing those words, what he says. It's good to know the promises of God, but if you do not believe them, they are for you. You will not activate them. You will not come in this agreement with God. I'm going to move on. So this letter to Galatian church, what we opened up with is Galatians 5, 16 to 26. This was written by Paul in about 47, 48 AD. So if Jesus was crucified 29 to 33, somewhere in there, this is only 10 to 15 years, 12 to 15 years past the resurrection. Paul's first missionary journey, he's in Galatia, and he sees the church and where they're at. And so all through Galatian, he's talking about, they're saying, well, I don't even know who you are, Paul. Are you even worth Are this who you really are? Are you a disciple? Are you an apostle? And Paul begins to explain all that. And then what's going on in the church? There's this false doctrine in the church that the Jewish people forgot about the cross. Basically, they forgot about the cross. And they went back to all these lies that of this religious thing, these laws that you must perform. You have to do these things. It's just not the cross, but you have to do all these other things because we do. We've been circumcised and you haven't. You're Gentiles and you haven't been circumcised. So you need the cross and circumcision because you cannot be free if you do not. And all the church and all those people were doing was setting and tying them up and making them be bound by a law that was already broken by Christ and by the cross and by the blood of Jesus. So conflict was rising up about the law and grace. Paul was preaching this message of grace. It's from the cross. You are set free. You don't need the law because the law is already in you. You have this grace upon you because the blood of Jesus covers all your sins. There's nothing you can do, but he did it all for you. So people were perverting Paul's message of grace. Grace by faith, they were adding religious works, causing the non-Jewish believers to place in bondage or under the thumb of religious laws. So Paul continues in chapter 5 and in his explanation of freedom we have in Christ alone, not in religious circumcision. And so I want to read this one more time to you, then we're going to dive into a few things, but I'm going to read it from the Passion Translations, which you guys are not used to. And I read it out of the Passion Translations here lately is because I want you to hear a different take, because I know you read the King James, the New King James, the American Standard, and different things, and I know you read these, and you know the wording. And so I read this so it's like a first-time experience of reading or hearing the word. That's why I read out of different translations, because I want it to be something that sets something new or makes your mind think, and then you can go back to your the one you like to read and read it again. And so verse 16 says, "Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life." And I'm just going to break some of this down. Are you abandoning those things of your self-life today? Do you go into the place? Do you go into a place of not abandoning those things? Do you go into a place of self-indulgement in the things that you should not indulge in? See, we try to fulfill the things of our desires of the earthly world, but we say we want to love Jesus, but in return, it's only for a moment. It's only on Sunday morning. Because it says, will you abandon the cravings of your self-life? Will you abandon the cravings of your self-life to live a life in the Spirit? Verse 17 says, when your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. Listen to that. That is so powerful. It's a little bit different in this translation because it brings things to reality. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, do you ever think that the things that you do offend the Holy Spirit? Or do you just forget about Holy Spirit? The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of us grieve the Holy Spirit by the decisions and desires of our life, of what we think we need to do? What we think we need to go out and do. For me and Tabitha to go out and go out places, we don't really go out in places to the honky-tonks, or we don't go out and to places like the Bird Gibson Complex and stuff. And I know people are there. I know the people are there, and I don't have a problem going there, but I choose not to. Why do I choose not to? I choose not to because my desire for the Lord is to see him move. My desire for the Lord is to see the healings happen. I want to see a power, an outpouring of the Spirit. This place, the dream I had, this place on fire with the Holy Spirit, that fire trucks pull up, but the place is not burning. But there is a fire around the building. That is the vision that God has given me years ago. And I still stand on that. So if I know that if I get in opposition of God and I do the things I should not do because I feel the desires of my flesh to see people that really doesn't matter to me. Yes, Jesus ate with the sinners and tax collectors. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Doesn't mean I can't. It means I will not right now. It means my desire for God's move in my life, my desire for God to move in this church and to be in connection or agreement with God, I choose to stay away from those things. Because here's why. It says it right here. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. Now, I know Paul's talking about circumcision. I know Paul is talking about the circumcision because he's talking to the Galatian church. But I'm telling you, there's a little bit more depth to this than what Paul just wrote. Because he just got out of this circumcision thing. And then he goes into verse 16 and 17. It goes on, he says, and the Holy Spirit, intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So the Holy Spirit's intense cravings, his cravings within your heart, the cravings and desires that God has placed within you, hinders the self-likeness or the self-indulgement of your physical flesh. So then, it says, the two incompatible and conflicting forces. The two incompatible. They are not compatible together. They cannot live together. Incompatible. Do we need a definition of incompatible? Incompatible means they cannot live together. They are in direct opposites of each other. They are forced away from each other. Now, I don't know if you've taken those magnets, and really heavy magnets, and tried to push them together. You cannot. They're like every which way, right? This is what we do when we get into a place of self-indulgence and not of the godly things, and we have this. We're trying to pull God into it, but our desire is totally different than what God wants. And so we're never going to connect unless we come in this agreement with God. Incompatible and conflicting forces within you are self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the spirit. Incompatible. They will not come together. He says in verse 18, but, with the big but. But when you yield to the life of the spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. Now, he is talking about circumcision. But I really want you to catch this, because you cannot live the indulgement of this fleshly world and be indulged in the spirit at the same time. It just does not work. Opposites do not attract. Opposites will not attract. We say that about husbands and wives, that opposite, that we're opposite, and me and Tabby are not opposite. We are compatible. Now, there was a time where we weren't compatible. There's probably a time in a lot of marriages where you haven't been compatible. How many years you guys have? Have you been compatible all those years? And I can say the same for my mom and dad. How many years you got? 58. And I know, and I lived through some of those incompatible years. Didn't mean they didn't love each other, just incompatible. Because there was direct opposition. Right? There was not an agreement. There was four of us. There was four of us. I was the angel of the bunch. Ask mom. Ask my mother. She knows I was the angel. She knows. I did no wrong, Jerry. We want to tell one story? So I came home and I'd been drinking. I don't know how old I was, 16. Came home and been drinking, and I had kissed a girl. And, okay, I told my mom, well, you smell like alcohol. And I said, Mom, I kissed a girl. She was drinking. I went to bed. So she goes and tells my dad that's laying in bed. Well, he smells like alcohol, but he said he kissed this girl. And you know what my dad said, right? Marcille, really? You know, that, I know he said more than that, but. Come on, Jerry, I was the angel, bud. I was. We're never going to get to the end of this. He was the only child. We have so many stories to tell, right? And what I do know is every one of us that are in this place today, and everyone that is listening online that is urgently seeking the Lord. Here's what I do know. And I can tell you from my experience. The Lord has had his hand on my life all my life. Okay? When I didn't know it, he's had his hand on my life, all my life. I've been dropped as a young baby coming out of the hospital. My grandma protected me. I have had pneumonia when I was 2. I've went through many multiple crashes. I have been hit with a baseball in my temple, crushed my sagittal arch. I think it was the left side. Left side. What was it called? Zygomatic arch. Left side, because I threw this way and I went like this. Think it was that way? Okay, I don't know which side. But the baseball crushed my crushed my zygomatic arch. Multiple wrecks and DUI occasions that I didn't get caught in. Things that I should have been dead in. But the Lord has saved me through those moments that the enemy has tried to destroy my life. Now, I wasn't following him, but he knew that I was going to be here at this moment, at this time, speaking to you on this day, to preach this message to you today. Each one of us have been through times and seasons in our life that we weren't following God and we are in direct opposition of God. But God knew a purpose and a plan for my life. I had to accept that purpose and plan in my life or I had to be destroyed. But I know one thing, we had people that were praying for us. I had grandmothers and grandfathers and moms and dads praying for us, seeking God, praying in the Spirit, moving God to say, I know that I dedicated my son to you. I know that I dedicated him to you. I gave him in your hands. I know you're my, his protection. And these are the truths they stand on. These are the truths that they prayed. And it gets us to the place today where we're at today. For what purpose and what reason? Is to take the gospel to our community. To take the gospel to our family. Not just to be humdrum about the gospel. Oh, Jesus is so good. I'm telling you what, you got to be excited. Because if you're not excited, the world will not be excited for God. I'm telling you that right now. If you are not out preaching the gospel, you don't have to be this Bible thumper out on the corner of the street. You don't have to be that. You just have to be the light to the world. Because the light resides within you. It's all you have to be. And then act out on the things that God says to do. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Matthew 28. Heal the sick. Not pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Lay hands on them. Cast out demons. Freely you've been given. Freely give away. That's what I do know. Verse 19. The behavior of self-life is obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography. Verse 20, chasing after things instead of God. Chasing after things instead of God. This is the self-indulgent life. Chasing after things instead of God. Chasing after money. Chasing after other ladies. Chasing after whatever you would see. Chasing after vacations. Chasing after these things that are continually keep you away from God. It's not wrong to go take a vacation, but if that is your desire all the time to go do these things and you do not allow God to move, then you're in opposition. You can allow God to move in your vacations. There's a time we need rest. There's a time. That's okay. It says, manipulating others, hatred, and those who get in the way, senseless arguments, resentments with others are favored. Resentment when others are favored. You ever, you know, I'm going to be too late. Just a story. In this church, I could have had resentment. There was other people in front of me all the time. I didn't know where the Lord wanted me. I thought I was going to be an evangelist. That's what I thought the Lord said to me. You're going to go out and preach this evangelistic thing. This is your character. This is who you are. You're going to go out and change the world. So I never believed that this is where I was going to be. Other people were in the pulpit. I very got seldom opportunities once a year to get in the pulpit and preach a word. I didn't stop doing what I was doing. I was mowing the yard. I was putting hanging ceilings in the basement. You didn't know what I was doing, but I was doing them and you didn't know it. It was if you was in the church. I would be here Monday, both services, 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock, or 8 o'clock and 10:30. I was here both services. I was here all the time because I knew God was going to move. I didn't care who was in front of me. I didn't care about the opposition that offended me. It didn't offend me, should I say. People in front of me didn't offend me. Where the enemy could use that to destroy you, he didn't destroy me a bit because I knew who I was in God. I knew that the purpose that God had in me were greater than any purpose that anybody could ever place on me. No man could place something on you except for God doing it in them. There's no opposition. No hatred. to those who get in the way. Senseless arguments, resentments with others that are favored over you. Temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. Verse 21 says, being envious of the blessings of others. You ever envious of the blessings of others? When somebody gets a new car. When somebody gets a raise at work. When somebody's blessed. Does it offend you? Only when they go to the beach and they didn't take you with them. Murder, uncontrolled addiction, wild parties, and all the other similar behaviors. Haven't already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So all the things I just said, those who use those freedoms that God has given you, and then you choose to live in those places, yes, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you today, and I told you last week, that you are not sinful people. You are saved and you are covered under the blood of God. I've been redeemed by the living God. Redeemed by his blood. You are dead to old nature. But if you choose, because we each have to choose. This is where some people say that once saved, always saved. And this is a debate. And a debate about once saved, always saved. That once I have been baptized, once I have accepted Christ, I proclaim his name. Once I have been saved, I can live my life how I want to. Now, is that the freedom of grace? It says grace, freedom. It says by the blood, I'm covered. But this verse here tells me a little bit different. It's a little bit contradiction of being once saved, always saved. It says, being envious and the blessings of others, and then it goes on all these things. It says, I have warned you that those who use their freedom in the blood of Jesus, in the cross, for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So just because you're free, you feel free that you can do things in the worldly desires, go ahead and do them. I don't know if I would want to stand before God on that day that you stand before him, because each one of us is going to stand before him. We say that we have the desires to see God move. We say that we have the desires to see the goodness of God show up in this place. We say we have the desires to see healings happen as wheelchairs rolled out of this place, walkers rolled out, diseases healed. But then we have worldly desires that we continue in contrast with the enemy. How can I have both of them living on inside of me? Paul says, I do the things I do not wish I would do, but I do them anyway. Paul says, I wish I couldn't do that. Here's what I know. If you know that these things are wrong, why do you do them? If we know the things that God wants in your life and you prolong those things by doing those. All I know is it says, they use their freedoms for these things will not inherit the kingdom of realm of God. Verse 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit produces by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Now, to indulge in the things of the world, limit my things of the things of God. Because it said those things are limitless. But these desires of my heart only act out for a time or a season. For a moment, an hour, or 2 or 3 hours, and I come in direct conflict with God when I do those things for 2 or 3 hours. But then I want to come in to a place of preaching the gospel. I want to come in to sharing the gospel with my friends. And I come into this place, but I'm in direct conflict with God. The word of God does not come back void. And if you use the word of God, God will change people no matter where you're at in your life. I'll tell you that for a fact. Now, your attitude and your character and what you do and what they see might change their attitude of what the gospel says. 24. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus Christ have already experienced crucifixion, because it says we were dead with Christ. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. Verse 25, if the Spirit is the source of life, we must also allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our life. Are you letting the Spirit of God direct every aspect of your life? Verse 26, we may never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousies that diminish the value of others. Now, I read that as a passage translation because I wanted you to hear it a little bit differently, not the way you're used to hearing it. Because when those people in Galatia heard Paul's letter, it was totally new to them. I don't want to be so redundant about Scripture, and I think the Passion Translation is okay. I don't think there's any error in it, but I like the King James. I like the New King James. I like those, but I just use it as a reference. But it allows you to hear differently the things that the Lord says to you in the Scriptures. So don't get so tied down. You can open it up, but go back to your original, what you like. Go back to the one you like. And read it again. And let the Lord give you interpretations. Give you wisdom on those things. We've already touched on a few of these things. And I'm just going to knock through these real quick. The passage highlights war between the desires of the flesh, our old nature, sinful nature, and the Holy Spirit, which resides in believers, right? This is direct opposite. There's a war. There is a war going on in us. Erica, there's a war going on in us each and every day. You deal with it each and every day. You see people deal with it each and every day. You deal with it each and every day, Alvin. So do you, Melvin. You deal with this war each and every day. Opposites collide. The flesh seeks to glorify sinful desires, while the Spirit leads to actions that are against the flesh and align with God's will. We have this eternal struggle. This conflict prevents believers from doing the things they want to, creating an intentional battle for the spiritual victory. A lot of times, you know, we sang that song today. We want to see a victory. I want to see a victory. We sung that song and it moves us, right? It moves our emotions. But we want to see a victory, and then we do the opposite. How can I say I want to see a victory because I want God to move and I'm not living in the right place where God can give me the victory? That's some things I don't understand about church people or Christian people. I don't understand how they can indulge in self-indulgement and then want to see victory. They want God to do all the work. We were reading a book, and it's called the Andrew Womack's The Voice, or The Believer's Voice Victory, The Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority. And you know how much authority you have? I'm not going to step on your message. The authority that we have, and this is amazing. Maybe you don't know that we have authority. Do you believe you have authority? There's authority in everything that we do, from our workplaces to our families. There's an authority, right? God had placed the husband over the wife, right? And them over the children, and there's authority. But the authority that was given to Adam in the garden said rule the earth. Satan came and took away the authority. Okay? Jesus come back and said what? Defeated Satan. And he did what? He brought back the authority and rule and give it back to us. He said, go out into all the world, preach the gospel. He gave you back authority. That means I have the authority over everything in this earth. Over the wind. That means you have authority over the air, over the sun. You have authority in the earth over health and disease. We have authority. But he's given us authority, but then we live like we don't have any authority. We have been given all power and authority in this earth because Christ died. And where does he live? Inside of us. Now, we don't act on it, we don't operate in it, but the disciples in the first church did operate in those things. They walked up, they didn't pray. What I have, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. That's what he did. He didn't stop and make a prayer circle around this guy. He didn't say, oh, guys, I need 25 people. Come over. Let's pray for him. He said, in the name of Jesus, come up and walk. I give you what's on the inside of me. I have the authority that has been placed upon me. Who has the authority to give it to you? Jesus. He's up in heaven. He said he'd give it to you. He lives within you. You have the authority. But we want to, here's what happens now. Satan knows the authority was taken away from him. All right? Satan knows the authority has been taken away from him from Jesus. So, if he can get you, Satan cannot do anything of himself. Satan is not as powerful as you think he is. All right? He is not. But if he can get you to agree with him, he just took your authority. You got me? So we were talking about this morning. Tabitha and I. Owen has Q22 or 22Q. It's called the DeGeorge syndrome. Now I believe God is still a creator. He is a creator. I haven't been using my authority correctly. And so now I'm going to start working in my authority. And I'm going to believe. And I'm going to say, I want that 23rd chromosome to come back into place. I am in agreement with God. God is a God that completes. He is not one that does not complete. Because it said on the sixth day he was done. On the seventh day he rested. It was good. And so, when we indulge in the flesh, we cannot come in agreement with God, but we come in agreement with the enemy that allows him to take my authority away from me. And then I think I'm operating in victory, but I'm operating I'm a loser. Deficit, yeah. I'm operating out of that deficit because I've allowed the enemy to take away what was rightfully mine. Now, how do I get it back? I repent. And I begin to live my life like I'm supposed to. Why so many people get healed and the healing goes away is because Satan comes in and snatches that away. And that's what happened to you. That night, your ears opened up. I don't know how long they were open, but Satan said, you can't hear. Satan began to speak in your voice, or in your head, and he said, you ain't healed. And you agreed with it. The minute you agreed with it, boom, it was gone. That's wrong. God knows. The authority that we have in us, ears open up. Okay? When we walk in the flesh, we cannot come in agreement with God. It cannot happen. We can't indulge our life and indulge our life in the flesh and be in total direct opposite of God. He will repel us, it will repel us and repel us. We cannot come until we turn that magnet around and come in agreement with God, and God begins to move then. Okay, I'm almost done. So this place of flesh versus, or spirit versus flesh, Satan, okay, I already talked about that. He can have nothing in this world unless he uses you. And so I'm going to close here. Can you look back at your life and see where we've allowed Satan to come in and steal? Steal our authority that we had? He is crafty. He is very crafty at what he does, okay? He's been doing this for many, many years. He's been doing this many, many years. And Eve just happened to get caught in the trap of agreeing with him. And then Adam was standing right beside her, and he let her do it. Because he was wondering too. Because why? The fruit looked good. The fruit of the tree looked really good. And you know, that was probably 60 years in the garden, and the fruit looked really good, and they thought about it every time they walked by it. It's like every time we walk by something that we think looks good, and it's like, man, I sure like to try that, but I know God told me no. And then one day we choose to say yes. And that's when it all begins to fall apart. Does God really love me? Right? We start to get into that place. Does God really love me? He's not showed up. He's not showed up in my life. But when I look back at the turning point, it's at this moment that I gave my authority and gave myself away to the devil. He is nobody. He is nobody. He's already defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. Declared a victory in this place. Father God, I just come before you today, and I just thank you for your word today, Father. I thank you that there is conviction in our spirit, there's conviction in our heart, Father. I thank you that you speak to us individually and corporately together. I love you, Lord, that you just pour out your spirit. And I love you that we can come in connection and agreement with you and declare the word of the Lord in power and authority that you give us. And Father, I know there are people here that have given their authority away or agreed with Satan, and they've allowed him to come in and take some things from them. But the Bible tells us that when you find out to him and find out what he has done, he'll come back and bring it back sevenfold. And so, Father God, I just come into this place today, Father, and just I love you and adore you and just thank you for your word. Thank you for your direction and your leading and how you have brought us into this place today.